We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Marty Griffin. All right, I'm here with Eric Chafin from Chafin Luhana. And I'm also here with an amazing, amazing woman. Would you please introduce yourself there, young lady?
Taja Wolf.
Okay, tell, because I think this is important. This is a very important story. It's a very important conversation. Taja came to me because, tell our listeners what happened. You tell it better than I do, my dear.
My granddaughter was kidnapped and killed on August the 31st. I had reached out in order to get help.
Do me a favor. I'm sorry. Please just pull the microphone closer. That's my fault. Start at the top again. Tell us about your granddaughter.
My granddaughter was kidnapped and killed on August the 31st, and I had reached out for help and trying to get information in regards to the timeline of events that led up to the Amber Alert.
Well, it's been very frustrating for you.
Yes, it has.
In fact, and I don't want to speak for you, I don't, but you believe, and as we look at this, we all believe, and even the district attorney concurs that there was something happened where the world didn't learn that she was missing fast enough, right?
Correct. The Amber Alert was issued almost 3 hours after my son had made the initial call to 911 to report that she had been abducted.
And this is Milani Johnson, that's gorgeous, gorgeous girl. Tell our listeners what she used to call you.
A meemaw.
A meemaw. and as I would... You really struggle with this, if we're going to be honest. You struggle with the loss and the frustration.
The loss, just there's so many levels of this whole entire thing. It's not only the grieving and losing Nalani, it's everything that has come after that has made it extremely difficult in order just to be able to grieve like a family should. We've had social media stuff, you know.
Hold on, let me stop you there, because that made me so angry. You were actually being accused of trying to exploit the situation and get a car, and it's disgusting, right?
It truly is. And if people would just step back and look, if this was your family, you know, would you want this to be going on and people saying things that are untrue,
right,
unfounded, just to have something to say? It's extremely hurtful. Although we know it's not true, it's just the fact that, you know, people are putting this image out there for other people to latch on that's totally untrue.
So the drum roll starts and the banter starts and we start talking about it and Eric gets involved and you get coverage and we're all jacked up. We talk to Mike Doyle, the congressman. We talk to Steve Zappala. We talk to the state senator from Penn Hills, and everybody's charging ahead, and you were psyched, right?
Yes, it gave me a glimmer of hope that there would be some change. And then after, you know, this wasn't the top news story, things have died down and we've not heard anything else about any kind of change being made.
There's this difficulty with someone like yourself, because this is so important to you, right?
It truly is. I don't want any family to have to go through what we have gone through.
And what you're saying is, hey, it's all well and good when you're getting attention from the media and you're saying I'm going to make a difference, but you want someone to make a difference.
Yes, I would love for the words to meet those actions.
Would you like to speak to the, because all these leaders, they have folks that listen to this talk show, would you like to tell them how you're feeling and what you'd like to see from them?
Just that, you know, this is not over for us. You know, we're still grieving, and this was the one thing that, you know, our family is holding on to, so that we can feel some kind of justice from all this. You know, we want to help other families who may land in a situation like this. And I mean, in hopes of potentially saving lives.
Eric Chafin joins me. This is not easy, is it, sir, getting anything like this accomplished?
It's not. You know, I just want to, one thing you touched on, Marty, it's, I think, really important here is you know, from my law firm's perspective, we're involved in this from a pro bono basis.
Meaning right.
We're not getting paid. We're here to help make a difference. And, you know, the listeners out there who say that Ms. Walsh, for example, is just after a car or publicity, whatever it is, they don't know her. I've gotten to know her in this case. She is someone who grew up in foster care. She put herself through school. She has 2 degrees. She's worked with children in shelters. She currently works for the county doing services for people in the community. She's here to make a difference and to make sure that Nalani's death was not in vain and to help protect perhaps your children, your grandchildren. You know, let's make a difference together. Let's not throw stones and set back and say, be the naysayers here. But instead, you know, there's various ways to get involved. You know, we're going to have petitions out. Sign the petitions. Help us get the awareness to the congressman that's made promises to talk to local leaders. I know they will. They're just busy, and we need to get their attention and make sure this case doesn't die off. And so let's make a difference together rather than throwing stones, and make sure you know the facts about somebody before you throw stones like that.
It's tough for you, though, because I know you. You're an action guy. You're always in the middle of it personally. So you get a little frustrated, as I do, as she does as well, that these politicians hold the microphone and look towards the camera, but then once it's all turned off, they don't carry the ball the way they should.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, look, we all have to be accountable for what we say we're going to do. And, you know, we're here and there's politicians who stepped up, said they're going to do things. We believe they will.
Right.
But we need them to act while there's still momentum behind this and not just leave it sit. And we have specific actions we want to take. And that's what we'd like to see done.
All right, folks, hang in there. We're right back. We got a lot to get to. I find this story to be so impactful, first of all, because it was such a dramatic experience and so traumatic. And also, I'm with you, Ms. Walsh, that this has to change, because I think, and I've talked to Steve Zappala, the district attorney, about this, I think that this could save lives. Do you not?
I agree 100%. It definitely could.
That if a young child, a baby, an infant, whatever, disappears, is gone, report it immediately.
Correct. Correct.
And ask questions later, right?
Exactly.
I mean, because honestly, the way this plays out, if you look at it factually, Eric, you could argue that this little one could have been saved.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we know from the political scientists who've actually studied this issue, we know the first 3 hours are critical, because in the first 3 hours, if you don't get the child back, it's a 75% or more, as high as 85-90% of the children end up dead or horrifically injured. And so we know the first 3 hours are critical. There's an inherent tension within the Amber Alert rules that require the police to verify what's being told to them. We want an Nalani rule, which says there's an escape valve, that if a parent shows up, they say, my child was just abducted by a stranger or an acquaintance, that the police then act on that information, get the Amber Alert out, and don't work through the verification process like they have been doing traditionally. Because then you get the information out there, you act. Worst case scenario ends up being a false alarm. But I used to be a federal prosecutor, and the way we dealt with people who made false alarm accusations, we prosecuted them. That's the remedy there, to make sure that people don't come forward and say, someone falsely abducted my child. Remember, this is a child who is 2 years old in a car seat. Those children in that vulnerable position are the ones we need to protect and have the best opportunity to protect, particularly here where we have a responsible father who acted within minutes of when the child was abducted.
By the way, this is actually very relevant, and I think you both agree. In this case, they had really strong evidence that there was a problem here very quickly, did they not, ma'am?
Yes, they did.
Right?
Yes.
And so your frustration is, we could say this kind of sat in Penn Hills for over an hour?
About an hour and a half.
Right? Mm-hmm. And your frustration is, number one, they wouldn't give you records, right? Number two, they won't answer your questions. And number three, they didn't do it more quickly.
Correct.
And Eric, you would say, they would say they just followed the rules. But see, I agree with you again. So you're telling me you're going to wait on every single one of these reports because, hey, man, you know, the truth is a lot of these are parental abductions, right?
They do. And they say, well, we got to verify them. Well, what do you verify?
What do you want?
Yeah. I mean, you have a parent. You give them the benefit of the doubt. And if it turns out to be a false accusation that someone abducted a child, you deal with it that way.
Right. And then, as you said again, if somebody's making up an accusation like this, if they're taking their kid from their wife to Kennywood, and it's a joke, then they should be punished.
That's right.
Rather than saying, we're not going to do what we should do quickly because, you know, this could happen.
Well, when you think about the balance of the two, the balance is we have Nalani, who we believe could have been saved had that Amber Alert been out there. And you have that, the death of a two-year-old child, against the prospect that someone may have been stopped with the child and embarrassed because they were stopped by a police officer. This happens all the time. I mean, we get stopped for reasons all the time by police officers. Some good reasons, some bad reasons. Sometimes it just isn't true. But the reality is that's the balance. The life of a two-year-old child, those really vulnerable kids, versus just simply an embarrassment of a false report.
You, ma'am, you've had frustration because you believe that nobody cares, right?
That's the feeling that I have. Yes, yes, yes.
Have you been, after we've met and since we've talked and you've communicated, I know with Eric and I hear from you, have you been kind of stonewalled when you reach out, nobody responds, nobody calls you back?
I don't even know the officer's name that took the report. We know absolutely nothing.
Mm. And how about the political leaders? Do they respond to you? Do they communicate?
Initially, they did. And then, you know, they made statements that, you know, were in support of, you know, making the changes. And then after a period of time, nothing.
Nothing. And specifically, what would you like procedurally this to pick up the pace? What would you like the order to be? What would you like to happen, ma'am?
Just the, you know, the changes be made for this, the tender years, you know, the kids who are stuck in the car seats and they can't, you know, do things for themselves. Just to make, you know, when you have the information at your feet, act on it. Don't hold off. You know, get the information out there so that, you know, there's a potential to save, you know, that child.
By law, what would you like to see happen, sir?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, just to make it simple for everybody, you know, we're looking for a Nalani rule, a rule that says there's a verification escape valve when you have the parent of a minor child, whether it's in a car seat or, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, that they say the child has been abducted by a stranger, an acquaintance that doesn't have permission to take the child, and I'm concerned for their safety. That's simple.
And several political leaders, congressmen, local state senator, as a palace office, told me they're in the middle of this, that it's a process that could take time, and we just have to be patient with the process. My argument is, get it done, because if you don't, a child could die.
Yeah, we need someone to step up, sponsor a bill in the state senate, or to go to bat with the state police and educate everybody so that we can actually get the changes made for this group of children. It's not a big group of children, but certainly the results are so significant in how we can have an impact to save those children in Pennsylvania.
And talk to bureaucrats who, oh man, these things are always bogus. Tell your employees, this is your job. Do it or go.
That's right. Hold them accountable. Let's make a difference.
Yes, that's what I see. Hey, Eric Chafin here with Chafin Lujan. We got a lot to get to. We're going to talk about Margaret Ersta, right?
Yep.
I also want to talk about distracted driving. You pay a lot of attention to distracted driving, do you not, sir?
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of auto cases here in Western Pennsylvania. It's one of the most prevalent things we see.
I also want to get into this antacid that everyone and their cousin has used, right?
Yep. Zantac.
And so Eric is in the middle of a lot of this stuff. I love having him here. Once a month, we get him in for an hour. He's training for a big boy super triathlon. Tell our folks how long this is, how many miles?
It's just 140.6 miles.
Come on, man. How many miles do you bike?
112.
How many miles do you swim?
2.4.
That's an unbelievable distance in the water, if you know anything about swimming. And how far do you run?
It's just a marathon at the end.
Oh, my gosh. In Houston, Texas, of all places. That's legendary. Right back, folks. All right, Marty Griffin with Eric Chafin. Interesting. Before we started talking regularly, I used to book him because it was because of your mom. is this the truth? I saw your mom in one of your commercials, and I said, my gosh, my mom is the same way. I think, because your mom volunteers, and I think what we are is what they were, right? Or what they are.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, my mom is certainly, you know, I said before, and I'm sure same for a lot of listeners, is, you know, I had that dad who was just really hardcore, hard worker, and learned a lot of good, you know, things from him. But then I had that mom who was also a hard worker, but just really caring and compassionate and nurturing. And, you know, I like to believe I live my life in a way that really is a good mix of the two of them. And certainly in terms of our clients and who we work with, I mean, as a law firm, that's really how we set ourselves apart, is just being the experts, good at what we do, working really hard, and then just being caring and compassionate towards our clients in a supportive way to get them through the legal cases that we have for them.
And you win.
And we win.
And you win. You win a lot.
We're fortunate that we win. We can't guarantee it, of course. Wish we could, because we're pretty good at it. But yeah, we win.
Hey, just an observation from an amateur. The landscape, man, the landscape of what you're doing in the media, of what you're doing. Lawyers are spending, in this market, $8, $9 million a year in advertising. What's going on with everybody chasing the same rabbit?
Yeah, look, you know, there's been a big changeover here, I think, in the Pittsburgh market. You have some firms that have been around for a long time. Their names are still on television, but they really don't practice law, and that's part of it. You have some other firms who come in, and they really just want to promise the lowest legal fee possible. And then you have firms like ours who just, I'm from the area. I was fortunate enough to go to New York City, be a federal prosecutor, gained tremendous experience, came back and built a really, great team here in Pittsburgh to handle, injury cases. And that's what we do on a day in and day out basis. And we're different because we're not only caring and compassionate, but we're also good at what we do. And we work tremendously hard. And we're not the cheapest firm in town. If that's what you're looking for, we're not the right firm. But if you're looking for someone to care for your family, care for you as one of our own, that's who we are, but also be successful for you.
Well, I've seen it actually on a very personal level with Nick and Margaret Ersta. They became very close friends. To you as well, quite frankly. And Nick just passed from mesothelioma. Nick was at 9/11. He was a volunteer. Quite frankly, my dear, dear friend Margaret now has some health concerns. But you're constantly trying to battle with you and other firms to try and get her some sort of settlement from Nick.
Yeah, and we've got it going in the right direction now, Marty. I mean, first and foremost is, we got involved in this. And first was, hey, we want to retain you as a law firm for us, Eric. And we're not doing that. We're not getting paid for this.
Right.
We're just really getting everything set in the right direction for her. There's multiple different cases because Nick was exposed to asbestos whenever he was younger from some work and stuff that he had done. There's already a resolution, a part of that. There's going to be money going to the family, which is just fantastic. The second part of it is, of course, in these asbestos cases, there's trusts that are set up, which I think will give them some money over time, give Margaret some money over time. And then importantly, a big part of this is the 9/11 claim. And we've got that going in the right direction as well. We got the estate set up for the family as well, because that's something that needed to be done for the legal cases. But then also simple things like Margaret dealing with, the truck for the family, and just different things that are just outstanding from the estate. So we've really tried to put everything together for her in the right way. And I told her the only commitment I want back from her is whatever money she's able to get, and I think there will be money,
yes, sir,
is it needs to last her a lifetime. And, that's what Nick would want, as I understand it, knowing what I do from you and others about him. And that's the one thing for us in terms of, working with clients is we want to produce a great result, but then really get a commitment from them. If you're from West Virginia, you appreciate this, is, don't do the hillbilly Christmas, Don't go get the new whatever it is, new trinket, toy, whatever. Make sure the money lasts.
Let me mention this, because you're right. Three-fourths of these folks end up bankrupt.
A lot of them do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's something for us as a firm. It's just really important for us is, we want to get you through the legal case, get you a good result, but then also make sure that it lasts for a lifetime. And just a quick story. I mean, look.
Yeah, of course.
I was involved in a case early on in my career on the plaintiff's side after I came out of the U.S. Attorney's Office. And it was a woman who had a tremendous, tremendous result for a personal injury case from a horrific accident, a crash it was. And, she proceeded to invest some money with some unscrupulous people, and they lost millions of dollars of hers. Millions. And, my role, my job was to get the money back for her. We did. But it certainly was something for me doing the injury side of cases. Our entire team is focused on not just the result, but making sure that people are set up so the money sustains them and gets them the care and need that they, services that they need.
Can you give some advice to folks who are out there who come into a situation where they have a car accident or they get injured or they go to 9/11 and they get sick and have mesothelioma? What happens, and this, they'll see some flash come up on the TV screen of some 1-800 number and lawyers that promise them, I've always told people don't do that.
Yeah.
What do you suggest for folks in picking someone who will truly represent them, sir?
Sure. So, you know, look, we all have TV ads out there. My firm does. We do.
Right.
Unfortunately, we have to do it, particularly in this market, as you said.
Do.
There's so many people advertising. But the reality is I think each individual person is, you know, what's the experience going to be like working with that law firm?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if you don't have a good experience with a firm, you're not going to have a good result. You're not going to feel just. You're not going to feel you were treated right. You won't feel like the result at the end of the day is satisfying in any way for you. And so really be asking for yourself. And it's an individual decision. Do I get a good feeling about this? Am I going to have a good experience working with this firm? If there are tremendous communication issues or there are some communication
right.
issues, speak up. If they're not corrected, then that's a good sign that you really need to make a change and get somebody that will listen to you and you get the right experience.
If they don't call you back.
The first point would be certainly calling back.
And if they do, that it's abrupt. And if they don't return subsequent calls with questions, you're in the wrong place.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, the flip side is the same thing I told Margaret and others is, you know, take notes. You know, when you go to your doctors, when you talk to your attorneys, it's an overwhelming experience if you haven't been through the process before with any type of injuries. And so take notes about it. I mean, Marty, you know yourself, right? You went through a big health issue for yourself, but, you know, take a loved one with you as well when you go see the doctor or an attorney. Take notes about what is said, what the plan is, and make sure it's clear what the plan is.
All right, I got Eric Chafin. I got two things. I got to talk about Zyrtec, and I want to talk about distracted driving. As it occurs right now, they're talking about new laws in Pennsylvania. Hang in there, folks. Eric Chafin. Hey, you're big time into this. It's fascinating to me, this Zyrtec. So this is a product that everyone I know that's ever had heartburn used. And here we are.
Yeah, it's not just the Zyrtec brand. There's also the generic formulation as well. So it's pretty much the antacids that are out there that people have used. And so, you know, just a few months ago, there was a national lab that decided to test some of the pills.
Right.
To make sure there weren't any impurities or issues with them, because as I understand it, I guess the daughter of one of the owners of the company was getting ready to take it. So he decided to test them. And when they test them, they found NDMA. And the amount that was in there was just thousands of times higher than what the FDA permits.
Wow.
And the crazy thing, I mean, just you think about a product that's put out, FDA approved, people are taking it, not knowing that they're taking this carcinogen.
Today.
On the level
buying
they
it today.
Well, and I will say, I mean, is what's happening now, of course, is you see the recalls. So we've had, I think, 14 different recalls over the past few months. And so we're going to see changes here. The question and the problem, I think, is that they knew this issue could be there because all the ingredients to form this particular carcinogen are in the product. And it will certainly, in the stomach environment, which is very acidic, reformulate itself. But the reality is they weren't taking action. And so so that's the climate. That's what's going on. You know, there's a lot of firms out there that are advertising for these cases.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You know, but what I tell people that I talk with is ask the law firm, are you advertising for these cases and you're going to ship me off to some other firm to handle them someplace
else? By the way, tell
else?
People how this happens. I don't think they know this.
There is. You know, so there's a lot of attorneys out there that don't do this pharmaceutical litigation like my firm does, right? So we do local personal injury cases, auto cases.
Right.
We apply our national expertise to those types of cases, but we also do those national product cases. And so a product like Zyrtec, for example, I just saw this morning, for example, you know, a local law firm that's advertising for those cases. The reality is they're not handling those cases. They advertise for them and they ship them off to another law firm to handle. They don't litigate themselves. Whereas my firm, for example, we file the cases, we litigate them, we understand the science, we can walk the clients through them. And when you ask what's going on in the litigation, we can tell you because we're actually handling the litigation versus just shipping it out to another firm to handle and taking a fee on it.
What do you suggest? What would people, why would they call you? In other words, what, would they have cancer already or what?
So two things. One is if you're taking Zyrtec or some generic formulation of it and you have cancer, you should call and talk to my people.
I get it.
We can look at it for you. There's epidemiological studies, not to get too technical into science, but there's these studies that are being done right now at Sloan Kettering in New York where they're looking at the correlation between taking the drug and certain types of cancer. We expect that study to be coming out at any time now. And so there's some really good evolving science. We're on top of it. We can walk you through it. And if you have cancer and you've been taking the drug, there's a good chance you have a legal case against the manufacturers of the product. And we think there's certainly a good prospect of recovery here for the clients and certainly making a difference to make this product safer.
Is it a typical? Is there a typical cancer, sir? Would it be?
It's typical. I mean, initially we were saying typical would be anything from the waist down.
I see.
But the reality is that now the way this product gets delivered, the way it's absorbed through the liver and the way it spreads is even some of the brain tumors, for example, are in the prospect of it. So it's so we really aren't ruling anything out at this point. It's really taking a look at each individual case, which needs to be done by a firm that's actually handling the cases, not just advertising for them.
And I hate to keep asking you questions about this, but I'm fascinated by, is it someone who takes a lot of Zantac or?
Yeah, so it's, what we're looking for is people that were taking it for a year or more.
Like everyday kind of stuff?
Everyday kind of stuff. Even if it's, you know, I'm taking it 10, 20 times a month, it's something to look at. And but, you know, some of these people, I mean, they're taking a prescription dose for a period of years. There are small children who are taking these drugs. So it's, you know, it just runs the gamut of what we're seeing in terms of people using it. Because it's very popular, as you know.
It is, man. I've taken a lot of it. Eric Chafin, it's always a pleasure, my man. I'm going to have to call you and get you on the air about the distracted driving stuff because it's very relevant right now.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. That'd be great.
Pretty soon. Good luck with the workout. I'd do it with you, but I don't want to show you up. Yeah, that's what had happened. I'd show you up if I had an airplane. Marty Griffin, Eric Chafin joining me today, and I appreciate it. The fact of the matter is that we collectively try to make a difference. And I think, Eric, real quick, it's kind of important to you. I mean, lawyers make money. That's kind of why you're in the business. But you're also committed and convinced that it's imperative that you make a difference.
Absolutely. Our motto at our firm since day one for the last 10 years is doing good by doing right. And the idea is we not only want to act in a conscious, deliberate way to have the most impact for our clients, but then also in the communities where we have offices, where we know the communities, is to make that difference.
Eric, thanks, my man.
Appreciate your time.
Talking to you again.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.